Good morning. I do hope that this is a special Mother's Day message for you. I hope it's wonderful. I appreciate Johnny running through our announcements, and I also like to learn new things, Johnny, so thank you for that. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. My name is Jeremiah. I'm part of your preaching team here at Believers Fellowship, and as Johnny mentioned, today is going to be a very special day for two reasons. First, we will be recognizing and celebrating the unique work of the mothers in our congregation. And second, this morning we get to dedicate a child to God together. It's been a while for us since we've been able to do a baby dedication. And you may know that when we do it, we usually celebrate new life on Mother's Day with baby dedications and new birth on Father's Day with baptisms. And this morning is going to be doubly special because on the stream we only get to dedicate one child, but there are so many kids getting dedicated this morning. So if you're sitting in bed watching the stream, deciding whether or not to come, today's the day to see some kids dedicated. Side note, really do volunteer for the nursery if you haven't done it before. They can absolutely use your help, and it's fun. You get to hold babies. They only throw up on you every once in a while. It's a good time. The only downside to having such of a packed Sunday with so many dedications is that you're going to have a much shorter sermon this morning. I know. You're heartbroken. Jeremiah doesn't get to sit up here and talk forever. Everyone's so sad. I know. But I'm not going to let you walk out of here without hearing some gospel, so we have very little time, but I'm going to jump straight into it. As we celebrate mothers this morning, I'm going to be working out of Matthew 23:37. And I'm just going to drop you right into the middle of that story here. You can follow along with the scripture we have up. But this is during the earthly ministry of Jesus. Jesus, eternal God, who added humanity to his divinity, joined with us. Jesus invited his people again and again and again to receive him. But at the point where we're joining him in this passage, they had done nothing but reject him. There are people who Jesus wanted desperately to keep safe, and there are people who refused to draw near to him. And Jesus uses a metaphor here that tells us a lot about the heart of God and a lot about the heart of a mother. So let's read in verse 37. This is Matthew 23:37. Jesus says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." So my mom raises chickens. She's got a mess of animals. Like, I honestly, every time I go there, I feel like there's a new animal. But I got to visit her on Friday just to see her, talk with her. Remember to call your moms. And I asked her about this bit with chickens and hens and whether this was like the sort of things that chickens would do. And I don't know if you've ever lived near or on a farm or raised chickens on your own, but if you spend any amount of time with them, they have different little clucks that they make, right? Some of them are just like, I see you walking there, clucks, you know, if you're getting close to the yard. Some of them are happy to see you, clucks. All my mom's chickens know her and my little sister, they know each other. And then there's a special cluck that the mama hens make when there's danger in the yard, right? So they have different little noises that they make, especially if there's something like a predatory bird flying overhead. They live out in the woods, so there's some predatory birds out there. And when the mama hen makes this cluck, she spreads out her wings, and all the little chicks hear the cluck, and they scatter, scatter, scatter underneath the wings. And I've got a picture of a mother hen with her chicks underneath. And the chicks are safe, and they're under there, and they can poke their little heads out to see what's going on, and the mom's got her wings spread wide open, and they're safe, but the mother hen is now doubly in danger, right? You've gone from a target-rich environment to a one place to attack. The mother hen places herself in between danger, in between pain, and in between death to protect her children. And I don't know if you know this, but that's not true of all animals. There is a marsupial called the quokka, I have a picture of here, who's extremely cute, cutest animal I've seen in a long time. But when threatened, this mom will just sort of like pop the baby out of the pouch and run, right? So the name of this slide that I passed in here was Bad Mom. It's a terrible mom. There's a reason that Jesus chose the metaphor of the mother hen and not the mother quokka, and it's because one of them images the character of God well. And we hear this sort of language a lot in Scripture. In Psalm 91:4, the psalmist talks about God's protection for us in a similar way. In Psalm 91:4, he writes, "He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart." The consistent character of God that we see demonstrated throughout Scripture is loving, it's sacrificial, and it's demonstrated in the undeserving care of God's children. None of those chicks that were running around on my mom's farm, right? None of them did anything to merit the care that the mother hen offers them. They don't earn that place of safety underneath the wings. Half the time, they're not even aware that there's danger at all, right? They hear the voice of the mother, and they flee to under the wings. We worship a God that extends protection to us and safety to us apart from anything that we've done to deserve it. And while we're still running around oblivious to the danger in the world or the danger that we're headed for in the life to come, God extended protection to us. He invites us to rest beneath his wings. That's the gospel message, right? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He shelters us under his wings. He doesn't force anybody to draw near to him. But for anyone who hears his voice, anyone who says, "Please, Jesus, save me," he gives the right to be called the children of God. Which is great, and you might be thinking, what's all this bird talk on Mother's Day, right? I came here for Mother's Day talk. What are we doing? Well, when Jesus chose to describe the depths of his love, of his care, and of his desire to protect us, he used the metaphor of a mother hen. There was something about Jesus's heart for us that was best expressed through motherhood. Jesus wants to make us safe, to shelter us. And mothers who follow Jesus, we see that in you. Thank you for following Jesus as you shelter and care for his kids. Jesus wants to protect us, to nurture us, to care for us, but he does not force us. And mothers who follow Jesus, we see that in you too. Thank you for nurturing, for caring, and for inviting the children that you've been entrusted to follow after Jesus. There is no better example for a mother to follow than Jesus. And as we celebrate this morning, as we celebrate the mothers in our congregation, we celebrate because you are following in the footsteps of Jesus. So as a son and as a brother, thank you to all the mothers, whether you're moms or stepmoms or foster moms or spiritual moms or ladies who mother us by giving us food, even though we didn't pack our lunch sort of thing. Shout out to Kathy Williams. Thank you. It's my privilege to be in community with you as we follow after Jesus together. And while we're celebrating the ways that mothers live into God's call on their lives, we're also worshiping God by dedicating children to him as a community. In preparing for the sermon this morning, I was just realizing that this can be a very hard day for people for a bunch of different reasons, right? There are people who have lost their moms. There are people who are experiencing infertility right now, or who have experienced the death of children, or miscarriages, or just people who maybe don't even have a great relationship with their mom. My encouragement to you this morning is to remember that without diminishing any of those things, any of those hard realities, no matter what you are not or what you have experienced, what you are currently is a member of the family of God. And we worship a God who loves us like a mother hen. And in this family that you are a part of, you're currently invited, currently called, and currently expected to love the kids here and love the family here like a mama hen. At this time, I'm going to invite our family to come up from the front, and I'll introduce them, even though I'm sure that you know some of their faces. So come on up, please. This is Haley and Brooklyn, and we've got Corbin and Peyton coming up as well. Peyton, you want to be up here by me? Oh, that's kind of nice. This is Brooklyn, and Brooklyn's name means pretty brook, and Mom and Dad have picked out a verse for us for Brooklyn's dedication today. Colossians 2:7 says, "Let your roots grow down into Christ and draw up nourishment from him, so you will grow in faith, strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught. Let your lives overflow with thanksgiving for all he has done." Haley, Corbin, in dedicating your child today, Brooklyn, she kind of gets to take it easy a little bit for the most part. You're doing such a good job. You guys get to do the heavy work in the dedication. You're publicly affirming that you will honor and love this child, recognizing her as a gift from God, that you will raise her up in the way that she should go, that for as long as you can and to the full extent of each of your unique abilities, you will pour into her, instruct her, and guide her, that you will demonstrate with your words and with your actions the truth of the gospel. You're committing to be parents who rely on the Holy Spirit in the life of your child. And as you dedicate Brooklyn today, I want to give you an opportunity to affirm all these things by saying, "We will." So I'm going to say them one at a time, and you can respond to them. Will you commit to know her, to love her, to pray for her, and protect her?
We will.
Will you raise up Brooklyn in the way that she should go, to instruct her and guide her to the full extent of your unique abilities?
We will.
Will you demonstrate the truth of the gospel to her with both your words and with your actions?
We will.
Will you commit to rely on the Holy Spirit to guide both your actions, recognizing your own limitations and turning to God in your weaknesses?
We will.
Believers Fellowship, today we are publicly welcoming Brooklyn into our church family. And this isn't a passive thing. This isn't a ceremonial thing we do just for tradition's sake. This is your opportunity and my opportunity to agree to be the people of God and the family of God to Brooklyn. So I'm going to ask you to consider your responses as you respond. Will you commit to demonstrating the truth of the gospel to Brooklyn with your words and with your actions? Will you commit to know her, to love her, to pray for her, and to welcome her into this family? All right. We're going to try and see if I can pray for her real quick. If not, I might just... Oh, hello, lovely. Oh, maybe. We'll see if it works. Brooklyn. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord shine his face on you and give you peace forever. We pray that you grow deep roots into Jesus. We pray that you grow into the image and likeness of Christ. We pray that you come to know God in a saving way, and we welcome you into our family. She said, okay. And we have a gift for you guys today. That's fun. Peyton, thank you. Yeah, thank you. Good job. Can you do a bow?
You do a curtsy? You know how to curtsy? You ready, Pay? You going to lead us? Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, we're going to shift into our time of response. This is where we respond to the word of God that we've heard by raising our voices and praising God and taking communion together as a family. If you're at home, I hope that you've got your elements set up already. If not, I hope that you can grab them right now. I'll try to stall for you so you can take communion with us this morning. If you're in the building with us, we have a few here. Communion is our time to remember the body of Christ broken on our behalf and the blood of Jesus shed on our behalf. And after we take communion, I'll pray for us, and we'll celebrate Mother's Day this morning together. Before we leave, I want to read two passages for you. First, from Paul in Ephesians 3, 16 through 21. Paul writes, "...that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." And then we have a blessing that God taught Moses. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace." Every blessing that we participate in and recognize or that we pronounce finds its root in the work and actions of God, or misunderstanding our role in the family of God. Today, as we dedicate the life of Brooklyn, we recognize the power behind our affirmations isn't in our own ability to uphold them. It's not in our own determination. It's not in our own righteousness. It's only through the power of God at work in us. There is no family of God without the person and work of Jesus, without what Jesus has accomplished on our behalf. While we were still far off from God, he loved us, and he invited us to be adopted into the family of God. And we remember that reality in communion. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had broken it, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's pray. Father God, we are grateful this morning for the mothers that you have given us. Thank you for the mothers and the spiritual mothers, and those who have poured into our lives this morning. I'm grateful for Brooklyn. I'm grateful for Corbin and Haley. I pray blessing, and we know that that blessing is rooted in you and your work, God. This morning, I pray that we have a special opportunity to give thanks for the mothers in our lives. In your name, amen.